Okay, sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yeah.
Can you state your name and ADC number for the record?
Paul Matus, 125355.
Thank you, sir, and good morning.
Good morning.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the two alleged violations listed under your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on March 28, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. If I'm correct, we have a lawyer in the room representing you. Is that right, Mr. Matus?
Yes.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. You cannot see us as this is a telephonic hearing, but in the hearing room, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Nathan Nunes. I'll be serving as the hearing lead for this hearing. Also present in the room,
I hear you.
Just 1 second, sir. Okay, Mr. Matus, just 1 second, because it's a matter of protocol that for these hearings that we have a community corrections officer.
He's supposed to be in here. You have his paperwork. You have everything, Mr. Matus.
Yes, I do.
Therefore, I don't know what they're doing. He's supposed to be in. They're working on another one, and we can't interrupt for another one. So we're ready to go with
you. Okay. So again, on behalf of the Department of Corrections, as our community corrections officer, Mr. Westby, you'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Now, sir, before we get started, I need to swear you, your supporters, representatives of the victims, and our community corrections officer, and I have several people here, so if you just bear with me, I will tell you candidly that usually we don't have this many, so I'm going to have to slow it down a little bit. But Mr. Matus, and I'll just kind of go on the room, beginning with the victim side, the counselor, sir, your name?
Yes, Ron DiBrigida for Mr. Matus.
Okay, and anyone speaking on behalf of Mr. Matus, show of hands. Your name?
Sylvia Munoz.
Sylvia Munoz?
Yes.
And Marissa Matus.
Marissa Matus, will you be speaking?
Clarissa Matus.
Clarissa, pardon me, ma'am. Clarissa Matus, will you be speaking?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And the prosecutor, your name?
Good morning. Ellen Dahl from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, Capital Unit.
Thank you, ma'am. And the officers?
Detective Sylvester with Gates PD.
Detective Diaz, 7626, Phoenix PD, Gang Unit.
Thank you, sir. And final, I'm sorry, one more?
Dan Fisher from the County Attorney's Office.
Pardon me, sir. Mr. Fisher from the County Attorney's Office. And finally,
Jeff Westby, Department of Press.
Thank you. I thank everyone. You all. Is only if she's speaking on behalf of
Vicky Matus? Yes.
Okay. Also, Ms. Matus, and I'll just go around the room again. So, beginning with Mr. Matus on the telephone. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm, Mr. Matus?
Can you hear me? I couldn't hear that.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm, Mr. Matus?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Mr. Westby?
I do.
Counselor?
I do, Your Honor.
Prosecutor?
I do.
Officers, one at a time?
I do, sir.
I do.
I do.
Thank you, sir. And supporters?
I do.
Thank you very much. Now, Mr. Matus, when I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. Now, in this case, we have a department report number suggesting that there may be a pending charge. So when I read the charges to you, you have the choice of stating whether or not It is true, false, or you wish to remain silent. Do you understand, sir?
Yes.
This hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. I will now read from the warrant of arrest to begin the first phase of the hearing. According to the warrant of arrest, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed, or probably about to lapse, in a couple of ways or company as follows. Allegation number one, violation condition 12C, as demonstrated by you operating a motor vehicle without permission from your assigned parole officer and without a valid Arizona driver's license, vehicle registration, and insurance on or about March 3rd, 2018. Now, Mr. Matus, is this true or false, or do you wish to remain silent?
False.
Thank you, sir. And allegation number two, violation of condition 12D, as demonstrated by you knowingly associating with offender Garcia, pardon me, offender Anthony Garcia, it looks like ADC number 122263, a known STG/gang member, on or about March 3rd, 2018. Again, Mr. Matus, is this true, false, or do you wish to remain silent?
False.
Thank you, sir. Being as that you stated false on both allegations, we're going to take information from our community corrections officer, and then we'll ask you some questions. Then the board will vote on the first phase of the hearing. Do you understand, sir?
Yes.
Okay, keep in mind this is only phase one. Mr. Westby, if you will.
On February 12, 2018, during a contact visit, the offender received, signed, and received a copy of the Arizona conditions of supervision. The defendant was given a special condition directing him not to operate a motor vehicle without the prior permission of his assigned parole officer, a valid driver's license, and vehicle registration and insurance. On March 5, 2018, parole officer Green was provided with information from the Phoenix PD Gang Enforcement Unit that on March 3, 2018, at approximately 21:14 hours, the defendant was observed operating a gray Chevrolet Impala with a license plate CFD 2572. According to the Phoenix PD Gang Enforcement Unit, the offender was observed driving the gray Impala to the address of 5813 North 71st Avenue, Glendale, Arizona, 85303. It should be noted that the offender was never given permission by his assigned parole officer to operate on the vehicle at any time while he was under community supervision.
Thank you. Mr. Matus, regarding allegation number one, I'll slow it down just a second because I recognize you have a counselor in the room. Do you wish to speak, or is your counselor going to be speaking for you?
I'll handle that, sir.
Okay, thank you. Traditionally, in these investigations, what we ask to the individual before the hearing is what is false about that allegation.
Mr. Quinones?
Yes.
I would normally not interrupt any hearing, but as I sit here in candor to...
Yeah, you must come up and state your name.
Yes, pardon me. Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman.
Ellen Dahl from the County Attorney's Office. In candor to the tribunal, counsel, and to members of the board, I think there was misinformation shared. We had not seen the allegations prior to today that had been filed by the parole officer. In speaking to detectives, both Silvestri of the Phoenix Police Department and other members of the investigation, it was not Mr. Matus who was driving that vehicle that day. They are here to speak to the second allegation, which I believe is far more serious. They are not here to support that or bear witness to that. We don't believe that to be true. There was misinformation. But the second allegation, we are here to speak to that.
Ma'am, are you saying that you did not see the warrant itself?
I briefly saw it, but I didn't have time to talk to the witnesses. I'm very familiar with the second allegation. I wasn't as familiar with the allegation that he was driving a vehicle. And again, I appreciate the time to speak to the board, but I also don't want to sit here when I know that there is not a witness to support that allegation.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Board Chairman, is there any protocol in this hearing as far as continuing?
I'm trying to make a determination in my mind why the county attorney did not seal copy of the warrant, because that, if she had had a copy of the warrant, that would have been allegation number one on the warrant itself, and so that was not provided to the. Can you help us out, sir? was that provided to, when I say sir, I'm speaking to Mr. Westby, was that provided to the county attorney's office, the warrant itself?
I am not aware that they received a copy of the warrant. I can't speak on either plan that they received it or that they did not receive the warrant.
Okay, and but you're saying that you did not receive, I just want to make sure I understand, ma'am, I'm sorry.
No, we did not. We did not receive it, and I also, like I said, in candor to the tribunal and to Mr. Matus and counsel, I don't think, that is not why we are here today, and I think there may have been a misunderstanding between the person who drafted and signed the warrant and the witnesses who are here to speak to Mr. Matus's behavior and decisions that day.
Thank you, ma'am. Excuse me, Mr. Lee. Yes, sir.
I just want to add some clarification, is that upon reviewing the allegation of the warrant and Mr. Matus's breath, Thomas Crane, I was just notified, is on his way here. He was running late or trying to find parking, but there's further information on that. But from my information, I'm looking at the phone notes and at the warrant, is that this violation number one is based on information that was received in a police report regarding allegation number two, that he was, now, who the officer was that provided that narrative, okay? That's what it was stating on it, was that the, was observed operating. So that, I believe, the Mr. Crane just received off information that he gathered from the report.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Mr. Borcher.
Let me ask, we cannot, at this point, we cannot offer the warrant itself. Therefore, that's why I'm trying to make a determination in my mind whether the warrant was ever, as it is written here, was ever presented to both sides, to supporters, attorney, and to the county attorney. And I don't quite understand how allegation number one was not seen, yet allegation number two was seen. That's what I'm trying to understand before I ask the board to make a ruling. That's what I'm trying to understand. How did one, because all of them are on the front page of the allegation on the front page of the warrant, and I'm trying to see why one. This is the first time since I've been on this board now, 4 years, that we've had one where one of the allegations have not been seen and the other one was. If both of them had not been seen, that would be one thing, or if both of them were usually seen. But yes, ma'am, please go ahead.
I can address that.
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't know, Mr. DeBrigida, did you receive a copy of the warrant?
I did.
Okay. I think it's because we are not a named party to the parole board hearing, and I think it's highly unusual often that we are part of these proceedings versus the clemency and commutation. I am very familiar with Mr. Matus. There were active investigations involving Mr. Matus, and the reason we were informed is because STG investigator Joe Masella with the FBI Violent Games Task Force and others involving three or four different law enforcement agencies have been in communication regarding Mr. Matus and his activities since he was released in late January of this year. We knew that this was an important board meeting. We did not receive a copy of the warrant, but we had been informed of the date and the time and the fact that there may be need for testimony regarding his behavior, at least on, it appears they only filed two allegations. We can definitely speak to the second one.
Let me just ask one other question. Let me just ask one other question. Who do you represent? Are you representing the victims or you represent the state here?
Both, the victims and the state. Quite frankly, we're here as members of the community in regard to Mr. Matus. And I think it candid to the tribunal, you should hear some of that information.
Let me see if other board members might have some questions before the board will be asked to make a ruling on this.
Board Chairman, as the panel lead, I just have a quick question because I want to make sure that I'm that I have this right in terms of protocol, and that is that we have the mechanism of making a motion of in violation or not in violation, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you, sir.
May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir. Thank you.
Our chairman, Quinones?
Now, I'm the panel lead, but we have a board chairman, so you understand the dialogue going on.
Again, Ron DeBrigida for Mr. Matus. I appreciate my colleague pointing out the situation with
the first allegation, which had to do with whether Mr. Mattous was driving a vehicle or not, we were prepared to present testimony that he was not, in fact, driving a vehicle. So I appreciate the prosecutor's candor in that. Let's pick up where the board member left off. I am moving that this tribunal dismiss or find that the count one is not supported. We can move on to count two. I would also request that, as is one of the basic tenets of due process, notice in a hearing, that the facts of this hearing be confined to the parameters of the allegations. Because if other things are going to be brought up, they are outside the scope of this hearing because we haven't been provided with proper notice of it. I would submit to the panel that we are therefore left with allegation number two, the alleged association with a known gang member, and we should proceed on that set of facts and only that set of facts. Thank you.
May I just say this?
Yes, sir.
Just for information, as it relates to the allegations themselves, I agree with you 100%. The board will make a determination of allegations themselves, whether they're true, false, or he pleaded the fifth, and he said each one of them was false. Now, if we go into phase two, if this board goes into phase two, we go beyond the allegation itself. Now, for phase one, allegations only, true, false, or the fifth. If we go into phase two, which would be if we get a motion to go into phase two, then it is open for additional information. It is not just centered around the allegations themselves. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page.
Well, I assume we were just dealing with the first phase right now.
We're dealing with the first phase right now. That is correct, sir.
And if we get beyond that, then I guess it's a question of the first point by point argument that we'll make.
Okay, so
thank you.
Please go ahead, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry,
Mr. Johnson. Go ahead.
I think everyone's right. I mean, we got two allegations. And the first allegation is, you know, there's not enough information for that allegation. And we could find that. We don't have to find that allegation to be true. We can certainly find it's not a solid. Not in violation of allegation number one, and go into allegation number two, and determine if the information on that, if he's in violation of allegation number two, then move on. We don't have the allegation number one that there's not substantial information. Plus, in the warrant, it doesn't name an officer; just says from the Phoenix PD gang squad enforcement. So that would be, you know, not in violation, and move to allegation number two. We can make a determination on that allegation. If we move to phase two, we can continue moving forward.
I'm going to take further information allegation two, but I will make the motion as one movement, and I think it should be pretty clear at that point.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Okay, Mr. Westby, can you give us information allegation number two?
February 12, 2018, during a contact visit, the offender reviewed, signed, and received a copy of his Arizona conditions of supervision. The offender was given a special condition directing him to not knowingly associate with any known SQG gang members. On March 5, 2018, Parole Officer Crean was provided with information from the Phoenix PD Gang Enforcement Unit that on March 3, 2018, at approximately 1900 hours, the offender was observed to be at a party located at the address of 5813 North 71st Avenue, Glendale, Arizona, 85303. On March 3, 2018, at approximately 20 hours, the offender was observed by Phoenix PD gang enforcement units to be having face-to-face contact and associated with Garcia Anthony, 122263, a known validated STG gang member with the New Mexico Mafia. It should be noted that Garcia Anthony, ADC number 122263, was also on community supervision at the time of their contact.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Now, Mr. Mattous, on the telephone, I'll ask that same question again. Do you wish to speak to what is false about that, or do you wish me to defer to your counsel?
Yeah, I say it's false.
Okay, so
I defer to my counsel.
Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Counsel. If you'll take the podium, sir.
Yes.
And if you can state your name again for the record.
Yes. Ron DeBridge, for Paul Mattous.
Thank you, sir.
And a lot of what I'm about to say is largely a summary of what some of the folks here will say to support the factual information that we have.
and that is that on the date in question, Mr. Mathews did indeed attend a social gathering at a residence. His niece, Clarissa, drove him there. It was at her request that he went there. He did not go there for the purpose of associating with any known gang member. He was there to go with his niece to socialize with other people. They made certain that they got back home before his cutoff of his scheduled curfew. And the allegation that he was there to associate with a known gang member, it is patently false. Now, in terms of associating with a known gang member, I would ask the board to consider, what was the purpose of a rule like that? Why is that a condition of somebody's parole or probation? Well, obviously the thought is that if people are suspected to have at one point been involved in activities with persons who are known to be involved with criminal street gangs or such like that, we don't want them associating for the purpose of either carrying out or furthering any sort of objective of a group like that. So when we look at the allegation, I would ask the board to look at not just the letter, but the spirit of this term. Now, if I walk into a supermarket and another person who's there that's a known gang member that I wasn't planning on seeing, and we have casual, polite conversation, has that term been violated? I would submit that it has not. So I'd ask the board to consider the purpose of any kind of meeting or running into somebody or greeting somebody. But I fully expect that the testimony you will hear will be that Mr. Mathews went to this gathering, private gathering. There were a number of people there. I believe it was a birthday party of some sort. Whether Mr. Garcia was there or not, I assume someone will support that allegation. But to the extent that this Anthony Garcia was there, I would submit that the evidence will show that it was not, this meeting was not for the purpose of associating with a known gang member for any gang purpose. My suspicion is that the detectives will testify that they were observing the situation. Somebody may have seen my client and Mr. Garcia in close proximity or even exchange words, but that doesn't even begin to satisfy the conditions of a violation of a term which we all know the purpose for. And I believe the testimony you will hear today will bear that out. Thank you, board members.
Thank you, sir. For the board members, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion for phase one and see where the votes land, and that is regarding allegation number one, and I'll do it in order, that Mr. Mathews is not in violation, and that for allegation two, that he is in violation based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018-W0650 and information provided by the Department of Corrections, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by Mr. Neal. Agreed upon by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed upon by Dr. Wright. And agreed upon by Mr. Johnson. Okay, Mr. Mathews, we're going to go ahead and continue with the second phase of your hearing. It is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by, as Mr. Wesby, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. So, Mr. Mathews, if you just remain on the telephone, we will come back to you shortly for questions. You'll be able to speak to the board in detail, or you can defer to your counselor. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Wesby.
On January 26, 2018, Mr. Mathews was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested March 17, 2018 by Phoenix Police. No new charges. He was back in DOC custody March 7, 2018 with a projected CSED of September 28, 2019, 0 stolen days. Current conviction, 2008, misconduct involving weapons, 12 years. 2008, dangerous drug violation, 3 years. Prior convictions, 1996, manslaughter, 8 years. 2003, misconduct involving weapons, 3 years. 2007, misconduct involving weapons, 2 counts, each for 12 years. This is his fourth term in DOC, CUIR score 5.5, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 1. STG Gang Information notes that he's an admitted member of Barrio Guadalupe Criminal Street Gang and a validated member of the New Mexican Mafia Aerospace Security Threat Group. Prior term supervision, 2003, TIS release, arrested on new felony, misconduct with a weapon, revoked by the Board of Protective Clemency. 2006, TIS release, arrested on new felony, misconduct with a weapon, reached CSED while in custody. His disciplinary violations are significant with alcohol, disorderly conduct, rioting, violence, and weapons noted. On 2017, excuse me, that weapon violation occurred prior to his release. Other arrests, all the arrests listed, charges were not processed. His community risk score is a G7V9.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Mr. Matus. Before we refer to your counselor, if that's what you wish, I'm still going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. And that is that you were released from the Department of Corrections, approved to reside at 4336 East Windsong Drive, Phoenix, Arizona. No other residences were approved. Mr. Matus, is that correct?
Yes.
Were you working when you were outside of the prison system?
Can you repeat that, please?
Were you working? Did you have a job when you were outside of the prison system?
Yes, I had a job, and that's where I was taken into custody at my job, doing work.
And what was that job, sir?
Empire Metal.
And how long were you working there?
A few weeks.
Thank you, sir. There's some programming notes that you referred to task for your analysis testing and assigned the color of peach. You were, pardon me, directed to call the task hotline daily, Monday through Friday. You submitted a urine sample on February 22nd, 2018, which was negative. We commend you for that. On March 13, 2018, you were placed in CHCCAP Career Criminal Program with GPS tracking. And we're given a curfew restricting you to your approved residence from 9:30 p.m. to 5:30 a.m. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
So we have some sanctions notes that you were staffed with your parole supervisor lease and directed to continue CAP, career counseling program, and given a verbal warning for a curfew violation that occurred on February 24th, 2018. So this is where I'll stop and say, your counselor to speak on your behalf from this point forward?
Oh, I can answer some questions. If I need to defer to him, I will.
Okay, sir. I'll ask some general ones, and that is, it sounded like, based on your history, the way it was read to us, that there doesn't seem to be an indication that you had drug issues, but did you have any ongoing problems with drugs before, during, or after your
period
in prison? Okay. So, before we move forward, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions. Yes, sir, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, I want to ask Mr. Westby a question first.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Westby, did you say in, I believe it was 2008, there was a weapon and dangerous drug violation?
Yeah, that's the current offense, is misconduct of other weapons, 12 years, and also dangerous drug violations received 3 years.
Okay. I just asked that because I thought Mr. Matus just said he didn't have a problem with drugs.
Well, I'll ask him directly, but it could have been sales. But Mr. Matus, was your past issues with drugs use or sales or both?
No, I was in possession in that case right there. I did not have a problem with drug use. Never had a dirty UA in prison or drug charge or anything to say that I have a drug problem on the street. So that was a possession crime right there.
Thank you, sir. board chairman, I really don't have any further questions until we move on with his counsel making some sort of statement regarding allegation two. Am I missing something?
No, sir, you're not missing anything. We're going to remain on the hearing. We can hear from the supporters and board members and asking the questions.
Okay. Well, then I will begin with your counsel, Mr. Matus, if you wish. Mr. Matus?
Yes.
Would you like your counsel to make a statement on your behalf?
Yes, I would. And,
at this point, we're going to move on with your counselor and any statements from your supporters, okay, sir?
Yeah, can I say a couple words, too, after?
You'll have a chance to give a final statement to the board before we go into discussion.
Okay.
That you wanted to share going on there.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. I keep forgetting your last name.
DeBrigida.
Yes, if you can say your name again.
Yes, Ronald DeBrigida for Mr. Matthews.
Yes, and what would you like to share with the board, sir?
Well, Judge, I think, I'm sorry to give you the title. I apologize.
Board members.
Force of habit for Ms. Dahl and Mr. Richards and myself. What I think would go most expeditiously for the board is if the folks here in support of Mr. Matthews, who were with him on a daily basis, would address first.
Okay,
I will summarize with my position and recommendations, and then I'll give my client the final word.
Thank you, sir.
So, what is your...
Can we come up together?
Traditionally, it's separate unless you're interpreting for somebody?
No.
Okay, I would actually prefer if you would just come up individually. If you could state your name, ma'am.
Sylvia Ross.
And what would you like to share with the board?
Just that he, you know, obeyed all laws with his probation. I was there witnessing when he did go meet his probation officer, attended his classes, got a job. You know, he was around his son all the time, every weekend he spent. You know, I feel that it's just that they're picking on him for whatever reason. All these accusations that are not true, if you can see how they are. That's kind of like, just sums it up. But he's supported by his family, his nieces and nephews. He's a big supporter when it comes to his nieces and nephews because he helps them, you know, get into school and finish school. He's a wise man, you know. He's very, you know, what, how he is, just supportive with his family, you know. Just a little nervous, that's
why.
No,
I understand.
Maybe I can help. Specifically, we're here to...
If you'll state your name again, sorry.
That's okay. John DeBrigida from Mr. Matthews. Specifically, we're here to address for the board allegation number two, which is associating with known gang members. Can you speak to whether or not Mr. Matthews has done so?
No, he has not, because like I said, I've been with him, you know, since he's got out, since, you know, it's not a false accusation. Like, if you guys can see,
may I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay, did you say you were at the gathering in question?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, so you do not know whether or not, or you did not see whether or not Mr. Matthews was in the company of Mr. Garcia, who's named in the allegation?
No.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, ma'am, we have to leave it open for questions. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I'm sorry.
So what is the relationship that you have with Mr. Matthews?
Family friend.
Okay.
Known him since I was young.
Okay, the reason I was asking because you can testify to his behavior and activity while he was out.
His behavior was awesome. He was very supportive, like I said, with his son. He was involved in his son's life. It's a big thing when, you know, a son and a father can communicate and be there, because there's a lot of kids out there that don't have that. Him coming out, getting his stuff together, finding a job, being there for his son is a big role for him, you know.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions from the board members? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for appearing before the board. And when you get to the board, if you could state your name for the record.
Marissa Matthews.
Thank you, ma'am. And to share with the board?
He's a big support. I mean, you know, I was with him that day, and no, he wasn't in contact. I didn't see, I mean, he was with me. We were at a gathering, and he wasn't in contact with him. He's been doing everything he can while he was out, you know, with his son every weekend. He was doing right. I don't see why all these problems, I mean, they have to pick on him for it. Like, he did what he did in the past, and that's the past that he's trying to change. He can't change with all this happening. He's just, he's a good person.
May I ask a quick question, ma'am? And that is, you were at this gathering?
Yes.
Whose gathering was it again?
It's my friend's birthday.
Oh, so it was a birthday gathering. And from what time to what time was the gathering?
We left before 9, so. When we got there, it was already started, so I don't really remember what time.
Thank you. One last question from the board. There's any questions for you? Yes, Mr. Jones.
So you took him to the gathering?
Yes.
So how did
he went with me?
He went with you to the gathering?
Yes.
So how did you guys wind up? You said that he wasn't with someone. How do you know that he wasn't with someone?
He wasn't with him. He was with me. We were all at a gathering. I mean, if Anthony Garcia was there, I mean, they didn't talk to each other. It's, I mean, and if they did, I mean,
do you know Anthony Garcia?
Huh?
Do you know Anthony Garcia?
No, I do not.
Okay, so if he talked to him, would you have known that he talked to him?
No, I don't.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Thank you, Ms. Matus?
Yes.
Any further questions for Ms. Matus? Thank you, ma'am.
May I ask a couple?
Yes.
Robert Richard for Mr. Matus. So that the board has a better idea, how many people would you estimate were at this gathering?
Like 20 adults. There's more kids than adults. So.
And what was the whose birthday was it? Do you recall?
It was my friend's cousin's birthday.
And how, was it a child?
Yeah.
So there were other children there too. And there were other adults there.
Yes.
And you were the one that was actually invited to the party.
Yes.
And you asked your uncle to go with you.
Yes.
Okay. Was your uncle asking to go there to see anybody in particular? Were you with your uncle pretty much the whole time you were there? Did you see him talk to a number of people at the party?
I mean, he introduced himself to everybody. That's about it.
Was there any kind of shady back room where there were gang members sitting around the table plotting to do things?
No.
And how long did you stay at the party?
Like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours.
And why did you leave when you did?
Because he has a time limit. He has a curfew.
And you wanted to make sure he got home?
He got home.
Nothing further.
Yes, Mr. Johnson.
So it was a children's party?
Yes.
And so does that mean were most of the people there, because you said it was a lot of kids.
Yes,
so were most of the people family members? Or?
Yes, they're family members.
So most of the people were family members? Is Anthony Garcia a family member?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Can you state your name?
Vicky Matus.
Ms. Vicky Matus, thank you. And what would you like to share with the board, ma'am?
I'm just saying that I'm very proud of my son, and he came on with nothing in his mind but to be with his son, raise his son, and be there for them. Because we have 30 nephews. And he always shared his time with them. The little ones. And my son has, even as when he was incarcerated, whatever, but my son never hurt anybody. He was not a bad person. Not just because he's my son. He has a good heart. He's a good person. Not to harm anybody. And he's not I'm sorry, but I'm his mother, so, but I want to ask any questions.
Thank you, ma'am. And first of all, thank you for appearing before the board. I'm going to ask my fellow board members, do you have any questions for you? Thank you. Thank you for your time, ma'am.
Thank you.
I just wanted to clarify, is that all of the supporters?
That's my understanding, in terms of supporters, that's everybody.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and open up the podium to the prosecutor. If you have a certain order that you would like to...
You go now.
Ms. Dolan and I are perhaps a little confused about the order.
No, I'm not.
You're not?
You were very clear that this is your time, and then we will have the opportunity to speak.
Okay, I'm sorry. So you're taking the podium now.
Right. And
pardon me. I was thinking that they were bringing that to a close.
And I am a bit confused about the procedure here.
It is that the, and I will say out of respect, because we don't like to just say in late, that I prefer to say Mr. Martus. This is Mr. Martus's hearing.
Yes.
There is some passback as to when he wants you to speak for him. I just got a little ahead of you. I thought you were bringing that to a close. So this is still your time, sir.
I'm not sure if the board wanted to hear from the officers and then the supporter, or then the...
Well, there is a chance at the end for a final statement from the inmate, and you may also speak to him on his behalf at that point. So if you have...
Then that's fine.
Okay.
I'll do that.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Things moving.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. Now that there has been a final denial from the county attorney's office, since this is being audio recorded, if I could first indicate that Detective Bo Silvestri of the Phoenix Police Department would like to address the board regarding his observations of Mr. Matus on the day in question, and then I'd like to speak to, if the board permits it, other information that would be helpful, because this is essentially a determination that you have to make obviously now that there's been a violation. But who is it that we're really talking about? If you could come up, Detective.
And Chairman, I apologize, and I don't mean to interrupt, but did I hear that there has been found a violation? Because I wanted to argue to that.
No, we voted on phase one.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
As to whether or not he was in violation of community supervision, we passed phase two. And during phase two, we vote on whether or not someone continues on community supervision or whether or not they revoke, which is the crucial vote, so to speak.
Well, I'll make arguments as to all of that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Kenyon?
Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I just think to maybe just clarify that question. Now, if he was found in violation of allegation number two.
Based on what testimony?
Based on the
information provided by the Department of Corrections in the allegation.
Okay.
The information gathered, then we vote on phase one as to whether or not he violated his supervision. We voted that he was not in violation of allegation number one, but in violation of allegation number two.
Well, if for no other reason than to preserve the record, I'll note my exception to the finding has been violation.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Board Chairman?
Yes, that's... Yes, and we'll have an opportunity to say that to the board at the end of, before the hearing is over. Yes,
thank
sir.
You, Chairman.
And also, we can see your
name. Detective Bo Silvestri with the Phoenix Police Department, and my badge number is 829.
What would you like to share with the board, Detective?
I just want to say good morning and thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak here. I apologize for the under the weather, but I apologize for the mix-up. I don't know where, as far as observing can drive, the vehicle came from, but the evening of March 3rd, 2018, I was the individual or detective that was parked down the street and observed Mr. Matus meeting with Anthony Garcia. Anthony was identified based on a vehicle that was parked just south of Mr. Matus's niece's vehicle in front of that residence. And during the records check of that, it was learned that Anthony Garcia was a Mexican Mafia member as well as a gang member from the Phoenix-based criminal street gang known as Westside Chicago's. That was during this time, as numerous families were leaving, that a van that was parked behind Anthony's vehicle eliminated Mr. Matus and Anthony. It was at that time I was able to positively identify those two individuals. Earlier in the day, I had been following Mr. Matus with the assistance of FBI TFO investigator Masella, who's provided me updated locations with Mr. Matus's ankle monitor. And it was at the swap meet that I first observed him wearing black clothing, blue jean shorts, black shoes, black hat, and black sunglasses. He was wearing the same clothing that he was at that party. Upon them leaving at approximately 8:24 p.m., they drove away from the area after, I would say, probably a minute or two conversation that they had between each other. It was at that time, that detectives that were assisting us in the area, as well as patrol units, had contacted and stopped Anthony Garcia for the purpose of no mandatory insurance on the vehicle that he was driving. Anthony admitted that he had left a party, but we did not get into as far as notifying him that we had observed him speaking with Mr. Matus. Based on the traffic conditions, we attempted to locate Mr. Matus to formally stop him, but that was unsuccessful upon driving through the intersection of 71st Avenue there. I think the purpose of me being here today is to really document his violent potential that he has. We have received information earlier in the month that Mr. Matus is going around different areas of the city and meeting with other gang members. These areas were restaurants, malls, businesses of those nature. And at the time of this contact on March 3rd, to my knowledge, he was the only validated Mexican Mafia member with Arizona that was out on the street at that time. And from my training and experience with their code of conduct of the Arizona Mexican Mafia, once you're with that prison gang, there's no getting out of it. And they are mandated, once they are released from prison, to meet with other criminal street gang members with the purpose of financial gain with taxing other neighborhoods. That is the whole motivation behind this, through theft and extortion, murder, crimes of those nature. I think it would be a shame if he was to be out on the street again, not to mention a couple weeks prior he was listed as an investigative lead in a homicide that occurred in Guadalupe. Specifically that day, we were actually following him and we lost sight of him around, I want to say probably 4 p.m. in the afternoon, and until around 11:30 that we had received information that he was in Guadalupe and a potential suspect on homicide. That was the purpose of us essentially conducting surveillance and attempting to obviously get him violated based on his violence potential. I just want to say thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak to you guys, and I appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'll begin as the penalty just to go back to the allegation and question. I recognize there's quite a bit of intelligence information, so to speak. But regarding the allegation specifically, you're the individual who observed the meeting between Mr. Matus and Mr. Garcia.
Yes, sir.
And again, how long did this exchange happen? And was, I mean, what, I know you said, but I want to be really clear on the specifics.
If you don't mind, sir, I'd
yes,
like
sir.
To review my report.
Thank you, sir.
Documenting this incident.
Yes.
So, I did not speak with Anthony, Detective Cianfrogno, with my unit. In the gang unit, actually spoke with Anthony.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to ask for silence for the guests in the hearing room. Yes, officer.
To answer your question, as far as the meeting goes, we established that he was there at approximately 7 p.m., and it wasn't until approximately 8:15 p.m. Where I had observed him exit the residence, and they were standing in the driveway of the residence that I had documented where the party was taking place. While females were entering their respective vehicles, the Impala, Altima, and a van that was parked behind them, that's where I had observed Anthony and Matus speaking to each other. This took place for probably approximately 2 minutes, I believe, in the time that it took for them to load up. But I cannot, you know, obviously attest to how long they were inside that residence talking to one another. And again, as I mentioned, the sole purpose of individuals that with the Mexican Mafia is when they get out, they have to sew up the streets, meet with other individuals and stuff. So I think that's kind of what was taking place, or in my professional opinion.
Thank you, Detective. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
So, Detective, you actually, and I thought you said that you knew who Latusen Garcia was at the time?
It wasn't until, sir, that I was driving down the street and with the assistance of Detective Diaz, who was also present here, that we were conducting records checks on each of the vehicles that were parked in front of that residence. We knew, obviously, that Mr. Matus was driving in his niece's car, which was a Chevy Impala. Upon obtaining the license plate of the Altima that was parked directly behind Mr. Matus's niece's car, it was learned at that time that the vehicle was registered to Anthony Garcia.
Okay. So you observed Mr. Garcia and Mr. Matus talking for about 2 minutes. During the time that they were talking, having a conversation with each other, just walk by and say hi, or two strangers walking by saying hi, or?
No, they were standing in front of the sidewalk driveway of that residence, engaging each other in conversation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Detective. Any further questions?
Yes, Dr. Ray.
Detective, about how far were you from them when they had the conversation? I mean, Mr. Matus and Mr. Gomez, I mean, when you closest we are here, you were.
I was approximately five houses south of where they were standing, sir.
And at the time, were you, I think you told us, so much has been going on, I think I missed it. At the time, who were you concerned about at that time? Was it Mr. Matus or Mr. Gomez? Which one of those were actually?
The sole purpose that evening was to follow Mr. Matus around. So obviously we were attempting to, in a sense, catch him if he was in possession of a firearm or something, any crime that we could target. It just so happens that Mr. Garcia was present at that residence, and as I mentioned before, it wasn't learned until the records check was conducted on Mr. Garcia's Altima that we learned he was a member of the Mexican Mafia as well as a criminal street gang from Phoenix.
And how long had you been following Mr. Matus? I mean, I think you said that a week or something before he might have been involved. I know you didn't say that he was, but he might have been involved in an investigation. So by how long had the Phoenix police, well, not necessarily you, but by how long had the police department been observing or had suspicions about Mr. Matus, and about how long, sir, you think?
Due to manpower issues, it wasn't a daily thing that occurred, but I would say over the course of a month period from the time that he was released, if we were able and our extra duties, we would go down and attempt to locate him and follow him.
Okay. Just to make sure that I understand, I believe it might be a little difference, and I can understand because this took place some time ago, but you said that you, or did you say that it was about 6 o'clock or 6:30 when you observed them, and then they left about, what time did they leave that residence?
We arrived at the residence around 7 p.m., and it was in, and they had already been there based on his GPS monitor placing him at that residence. And it wasn't until approximately 8:24 p.m. That they had left. And obviously prior to them leaving is when that meeting had occurred. So it was roughly around 8:20 p.m. in the evening.
So the purpose of your investigation, not the Department of Corrections, but the purpose of your investigation was to make a determination whether the Mr. Matus had had contact with a gang member, Mexican Mafia, or New Mexican Mafia, whatever mafia this was. That was basically what you were, what you were investigating.
Obviously, that wasn't the intention that evening. It just so happens that he was meeting with them. I think the purpose of him, of us following him, was the purpose of preventing any violent crime from occurring.
So at what point, sir, did you, you or other officers make a determination that Mr. Garcia was a gang member or that he had been incarcerated before?
Once his vehicle license plate was obtained and a records check was conducted on that, it was learned, obviously, Mr. Garcia was a registered owner. And then through a further records check with the assistance of TFO, Masala, who's an employee with the Department of Corrections, that Mr. Garcia was recently released from the Department of Corrections. And he was indeed a validated member of the Arizona Mexican Mafia, as well as a member of the Phoenix Police Criminal Street Gang with such cause.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Detective. Yes, sir, Mr. Johnson.
That was just time to make sure I'm clear. So you were actually there following Matus?
I'm sorry, sir?
You're actually there watching Matus?
Yes, that was the sole purpose that day, was okay. To conduct surveillance.
So as a result of watching Matus, you saw him engaged in a conversation with an unknown male at the time to you at that time?
Yes.
And as a result of that, did you have that vehicle stopped? And that's when you were able to identify that that was Mr. Garcia?
And just to back up a little bit, sir, we knew who Mr. Garcia was at that time, prior to him exiting the residence.
Okay.
And during that time when I was watching the residence from down the street, it was, once Mr. Matus had exited and was standing in the driveway, it was at that time that I observed him with Mr. Garcia. Based on Mr. Garcia's clothing that evening, as well as his long hair that he had, I was able to determine that that was him. And then once they left the residence, I directed the officers to the location in which they were leaving, eastbound on Bethany Hall. But it was at that point a traffic stop was conducted on Mr. Garcia, and he was positively identified in that vehicle that I observed him getting into.
Okay.
Any further questions from the board members?
Thank you, Detective.
Thank you.
I can clarify some of this. On February 10th of 2018, in Guadalupe, an individual, and I know this because I responded to the scene, by the name of Anicito Serena, was shot in the back of the head multiple times at close range. Eyewitnesses to that murder indicated that Cyclone, which is the inmate's street name, and he was identified also by photographic lineup, was the individual who shot him in the back of the head. Why this was important was because Mr. Serrano was on a hit list for the Arizona Mexican Mafia. Now, Mr. Matus, who had been followed earlier that day, because he is one of the highest ranking Mexican Mafia members in the community, unfortunately they lost him. That was when the murder occurred, but there are two eyewitnesses that place him there during that first degree murder. The investigation is ongoing. The reason that search warrants weren't executed immediately on Mr. Matus' residence is because he was not staying with his family. He was not on an ankle monitor. They could not put him down at a particular location. That was a problem. He was there with, and this individual admitted to being with Mr. Matus that day, a man by the name of Big Wado. And I'm used to being in court, so then I usually spell it out, but we're here. And his name is Gilbert Reyes, who's also a member of the Arizona Mexican Mafia and a criminal street gang member. That investigation is ongoing. Now, I know that we're going to hear, well, due process says this. This is not a court of law. You are allowed to have the truth here, and that's the reality of the situation. It was on February 10th when this occurred after the eyewitnesses identified Mr. Matus as being there and also being the individual they're meeting up with, and so on. And there's also scientific evidence that places Mr. Matus at that crime scene next to the body, without saying too much more. It's difficult sometimes to hear family members come forward. You're only as good as the information you have. But I will say this, he was not staying with his family up until February 10th. It was when parole officers were notified of him being the suspect in the first degree murder that he then was placed on an ankle monitor and was laid down at that place multiple times. But that's really the reality of the situation. As Detective Silvestri indicated, there is a lot of documentation. Mr. Garcia spent 22 years in prison for murder. The reason I bring that up to you is because he was housed at SMU-2, Brownie Unit, the same place as the inmate, for the last 7 years. Mr. Garcia, when he was interviewed on the day that he met with Mr. Matus, said he said he was caught up in the gang lifestyle, he'd been validated, and as you all know, have been before you many times. There are 40,000 or so inmates in the Arizona Department of Corrections. There are 120 beds for validated members of prison gangs. Now you got your Aryan Brotherhood, your skinheads, Mexican Mafia. It takes quite a bit to get validated, as you all know. But to suggest that Mr. Matus does not know that Mr. Garcia was validated during the same period of time that they were housed and as part of the same Mexican Mafia gang is an insult to your intelligence, if that is suggested, sir. And Mr. Garcia did deny meeting again with Mr. Matus, even though we have eyewitnesses to that. Why? Because he knows that there is not only liability attached to his revocation, but also criminal liability, quite frankly. I will note for you, and it was not brought up, but I'm very sensitive to the time of the board, that in fact, you are even as close as 2017. One of the major violations that was found related to Mr. Matus was a shake that he had in an oatmeal box in December of 2017 in his cell. Mr. Matus is no joke, and he is violent. As recently as November of 2016, it was found that he was flushing liquid substances believed to be an intoxicating substance down the toilet. Before they could go in, he mocked them and swore at the correctional officers and he poured them down the toilet. He has absolutely no regard for authority. The reason so many law enforcement agencies are following him is because we all know second verse same as the first, unfortunately. I do believe that people can be rehabilitated, but not people like Mr. Matus. And as serious as the allegation is, first degree murder, on behalf of gang motivated, which could call for a capital penalty, that was only 3 weeks after he was out. I would respectfully recommend to the board that he not be released back into the community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Just 1 second, I want to make sure that the federal board members have any questions for you. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Just so I can be clear. The picture you showed, what did you say that was?
I'm sorry, No,
what did you say it was?
One is a shank.
Okay, I wasn't really clear on what you said it was. The other one was, you mentioned the name Cyclone. Who is Cyclone?
That's Mr. Matus. That's okay. His street name. That's the name he gave himself when he was baptized into the Arizona Mexican Mafia in his criminal street game earlier.
Okay.
And that's what he really goes by.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, just to make sure that we cover all the bases before we get to the end and for final statement, is there anybody else on behalf of the government, so to speak, that will be testifying for the board?
If we could, Detective Diaz of the Phoenix Police Department Gang Squad would like to address the board. I believe that Mr. is fine with us standing on our comments earlier.
And is his parole officer also?
I am.
Will you be speaking before the board, sir?
I will not be speaking before the board. If you have any further questions, the information contained in my report is the information I used in writing the report.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So if Detective Diaz wishes to place a recording.
Okay, and I apologize, there is one more thing I was going to add.
Yes, ma'am.
One more disciplinary, major disciplinary issue was related to visitation, which, as many of you know, that is where the gang members conduct their criminal activity in the cities. There was an informant, an individual who called into the Arizona Department of Corrections in 2016 and said, specifically on May 23rd of 2016, that that was where Mr. Matus would conduct business, would be at visitation. He would be telling his visitors, Vicky Matus, his mother, and his niece, Clarissa Matus, information during the visit, and they would take notes and ensure that his orders are followed up on. The anonymous caller said that she did fear for her safety because people would be getting around the streets over the information that was passed in visitation. And she indicated she was also going to report this to the Guadalupe Police Department. They followed up on that. Now, Vicky Matus and Clarissa Matus were scheduled to visit that day. They did not. However, one of the investigators met up with a woman by the name of Miss Jimenez and asked her for the letter that she had been seen taking from Mr. Matus or that she had been writing. At that time, she retrieved it from her purse, and this was a note that, in fact, she had been writing while visiting with Mr. Matus. And I have a copy of it here. It was impounded. And it says, call, and then a telephone number. Tell her you are Cyclone Lady. You'll receive the $1,300 monthly and any other money from now on. Do you have any money ready? Don't give nada to Mises until further notice. Messages. He wants $2,400 for ounce P just received from him. Give Jacob LCM, which would be Las Cuatro's Mood, Mises, which is a criminal street gang, LCM, a quick bent down if he doesn't have payment for psych. He still owes $2,000. What's up with that? Babo owes $1,000. Cyclone only received $1,300 two times, March 9th and late April. Get me with any messages. I come every Monday to see Cyclone. He has a $1,000 ounce of glass for your man. And then it goes on with more telephone numbers and more drug-related transactions that you can see right here. That was a note that the woman was seeing writing as she met and visited with Mr. Matus. Thank you. I will not stand up again unless you have questions.
No, ma'am. And again, I will ask you, as the prosecutor, is it necessary for Mr. Diaz to speak?
No.
Okay. Okay, we're getting close to the end of the hearing. So, Mr. Matus, do you have a final statement that you would like to make before the board, or would you like your counsel to speak on your behalf, sir?
Yeah, I would like my lawyer to speak first, and then I'll speak after you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Lee, may I just ask this? Mr. Diaz or the parole officer, neither one of those agreed to make a statement, wanted to make a statement. That's just a question.
No, he did not. The parole officer did not have a statement to make.
I'd like to say something.
Okay, before we continue, we still have a statement that we'd like to receive from Detective Diaz.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'll make this real quick. My name is Detective Diaz. I'm with the Phoenix Police Department's Gang Enforcement Unit. I just want to give you a backstory. One thing, the reason why we stayed out there, it was because it was a house party. This wasn't a birthday party. 16 years of law enforcement, this wasn't a birthday party for a young child. There was no little kids getting off cars. There was no blow up jumpy things. This was a gang party, in my experience. And our concern at that point is we couldn't leave there until he left, because we wanted to make it safe there, because we knew about his violence potential. Us in law enforcement, we deal with violence potential and try to prevent stuff and make the citizens of Glendale, of this whole city, safe as the best that we can. That's why we stood out there, to make it safe. That's all I have.
Thank you, Detective. Any questions from fellow board members? Thank you, Mr. Detective.
I do believe that parole officer will.
Yes, yes. Officer, would you like to approach the podium?
Thank you.
And if you could state your name for the record.
Parole Officer Thomas Crane.
And would you like to share with the board?
I don't think you swore him in, did you?
Oh, no, sir, I did not. Thank you for that catch, Mr. Board Chairman. I forgot that he was a late arrival. Let me refer to my notes. And officer, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God, or so you affirm. And would you like to share with the board, sir?
I would just like to share with the board that during the intake of Mr. Matus on 128, his conditions of supervision were gone over with him verbally, with a specifically mentioning and advising the offender that association of known gang members and known criminals was not allowed and was a condition of his supervision. The reason this was done was because it's done with every offender. It's done in their conditions. But I did understand that Mr. Matus was a validated gang member, so I was very careful to make sure that we covered those conditions specifically. That's all I ask.
Just a quick question. As for panel lead here, and I will say this is an opportunity for me to gain clarification.
Sure.
I'm very sensitive to the status of individuals inside the correction system who are documented as validated SDG members. Sometimes that is mentioned, but it is not necessarily specific to the violation in question. Oftentimes it's an allegation. But I will ask you, based on your understanding, your training and experience, are we talking about a known validated member of an SDG, the New Mexican Mafia, without question?
Upon my review of his case file, he is listed as a validated member.
The reason I will say this for the record and for later discussion with fellow board members if necessary, and that is it's been my collective experience that we tend to hear about people when they step down, and we don't get a lot of admission when somebody's active, so it gets a little blurry, if you will. So I did want the input of someone who's working in the correction system.
Okay.
Any questions from fellow board members? Thank you, officer.
Thank you.
This has been a unique hearing. I will say at this point, as we move forward, I recognize there's been a bit more testimony than usual for revocation hearing. So, again, I will defer. I will ask our prosecutor, is there any more information on behalf of the government before we give it back to Mr. Matus's hearing and his counselor?
No, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, sir. I believe you're going to speak on behalf of Mr. Matus, and you wanted the last word, correct?
Thank you.
Thank you.
With all due respect, I find this situation troubling. And I'm not getting into whether the allegations that may or may not come and the investigation is ongoing. I'm not here to talk about that because, frankly, it's not an issue that's before us. My concern is that notice and a hearing, one of the basic concepts of our system. And I understand that the board is here not to, you don't have to find proof beyond a reasonable doubt as to any issue that's before you, and I get that. But when we're provided with what are the allegations that are raised, why this person should be found in violation of their parole, that should be the scope of this hearing. I'm going back to the original point I made was, and I'm going to speak specifically to allegation two, which is the only remaining allegation. It hasn't been proven by any burden of proof or measure of evidence. We have testimony at best, even accepting as true and giving all reasonable inferences in favor of the allegations, that our party, house party, child's party, you've heard the testimony from people over there, that for maybe 1 to 2 minutes outside where other people were loading up cars, my client had a conversation with Anthony Garcia. That's it. That's the allegation that is before this panel to determine whether it's a violation or not. And quite frankly, even assuming it's a violation, it's so de minimis that it certainly doesn't justify revoking my client's parole. One thing we can be sure of when we leave here today is that the Phoenix police are watching Mr. Matus. There's no question about that. And ultimately, he may or may not be charged with something. There may or may not be sufficient evidence for that. That's for these folks to work on. I trust that they will do a good job with that. But that's not why we're here today. We're here today to determine whether, well, now we're left with one because we were told that, oh, he was driving a car when he didn't have a license, but now we're told, no, that was a mistake. We didn't see him driving a car. Well, let's apply that to the second allegation. And it becomes pretty clear what's happening, that these are allegations that are essentially a ruse for something else. Maybe that's okay to some people. I don't understand it. I've done plenty of probation violation hearings, parole violation issues. But I think you're absolutely right, sir. I've never seen a situation like this before. What I would request, and if I may respectfully try to refocus the board's attention on the purpose that we're here for today, is determine whether the remaining violation has been proven. I submit to you it has not. And even if it has been, does the nature of that violation justify taking away somebody's freedom, revoking their parole? Mr. Matus isn't going anywhere. He's got electronic monitoring. He's clearly being observed and followed. He's clearly under investigation. These things aren't in question. But when we come back to the reason we're here, did he violate his parole? I would submit to the board that there is no way that that's been proven. And any sort of technical violation of that he had any conversation with Anthony Garcia, doesn't rise to the level of the purpose of having that type of term. Just having a run-in with somebody in casual conversation, and quite frankly, this board has been presented with no evidence of anything else, no substance of their conversation, no purpose of their conversation, there's no evidence of that. I would ask that you find that there has been no violation, and to the extent that there has, it does not justify revocation. I will give Mr. Matus the last word.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Matus?
Hello.
We're getting close to the end of your hearing. And again, this is
your
hearing. Hold on, sir. This is your hearing. So is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already shared with this. Again, this is your hearing. So is there anything else you need to share?
Yes, I would like to say something if I could, thanks. Can I begin now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I just want to say that in terms of my parole, I was working, going through all my classes, every parole visit that my parole officer requested, I was there. I was going to my classes, being there for my son, being a part of my son's family. And I don't think that it's fair that they take me away from my son and his mother who's sick with cancer just for allegations based on speculation, assumptions, you know, just for whatever paranoia or hearsay or speculation that they have. You want to take me from my family. There's nothing proven here in these allegations. The parole officer Green said, violation one, that I was driving. Why was that even written up at all? If it did not happen, or he was not told that. I understand how it was a mistake, and it was written on his paper, and it's part of the reason why I was violated and arrested at work. They came and arrested me at my job when I was trying to do what I had to do for my family and try to stay out there. And the second violation, like, I can't be accountable for everybody at a party that I did not throw, that I was invited to a second, third party. They happen, it's a small world, and things like that happen. The officers say that they've been following me numerous times, because of fear of crimes being committed. In that whole time, I never committed no crime or they would have wrecked me. I would like to ask them, if I was going around Arizona meeting people like they spoke of, who else was I meeting with? They have not given no evidence, pictures, or even mentioned. And the whole time they were following me, they observed me meeting no deserted people for committing crimes like they alleged. And I don't want to give this big old, in general terms, of FTG, but they have not shown no evidence to support that I was, in the time they were monitoring me, that I was doing what they feared I would do, or what they were alleging that I did. So that makes no sense to me. To me, it's clearly a persecution of me, having this title, this label that they put on me in prison, that they don't allow me to be free out there. You know, it's my experience being here and seeing how they do things. I don't have to be out there doing it, just in their mind, that's what's going to happen, so they follow us, you know. They try to mess where we're going, it's all our families, be there for our families. So, to me, it's just unjust that because I was given this label here, I'm not able to live my life for my kid and my family and everything that they allege right here. There's nothing to support that. You know, they said I was there 1 or 2 minutes. What can you really accomplish in 1 or 2 minutes? And they said, well, people were leaving. You know, you're out of place and you're leaving. And you say, what's up to somebody, and that's it. And you're gone. You know, they had the option to pull me over to see if I was doing anything illegal. And they didn't do that. So that's why I want to say that their lack of evidence, the negligence of the parole queen, writing this one as he did with insufficient evidence to meet this proof that they had an end game of getting me off the streets at the expense of my family's pain. That's what they did, and that's what they're trying to do here. And I just want to tell the board that I was on GPS monitored. They knew where I was at every time. You know, if these allegations that they're alleging, you know, I was not no flight risk. I was staying with my PO. They could have contacted me anytime. They said they last lost contact. All I had to do was call my PO. You know, set up a meeting, I would be there. So I think it's all lies from the government, the law enforcement. So that's all I got to say right there. And I hope that the board recognize what is true and what the parole officer has also said. That I was doing what I was posting my classes, my UA, I was working. You know, that's the only thing that's here that's based on actual proof and there's evidence to that. Even based on them, everything else is just merely hearsay, speculation, and paranoia of law enforcement. So nothing they said have been proven. They're talking in general terms.
So can you sum this up?
Well, that's all I got to say right there, and I thank you guys. I hope you guys relieve yourself. We're back to my family doing what I got to do. Thank you.
Mr. Matus, I have one last question before we go into discussion, if I may.
Yes.
You had stated that it was based on a label that they put on you in the prison system. Who's they, and what's the label?
See, here in prison, they have a system where they take you to a board based on negligent, sometimes falsified documents. They label you as an SEG security threat group, and they isolate you for years at a time here in the unit I have now. When you get that label, it's just like the persecuting your whole life. They're on you.
Well, sir, let's not dance around it. Are you a member of the New Mexican Mafia?
No.
Okay, thank you. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, especially because we're on the telephone, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes?
Yeah.
Under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if we'll just remain on the phone, Mr. Matus, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir. Thank you. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, again,
again, I think this is a very unique case. We've heard quite a bit of information, and I will say as panel lead, I do want to keep it within the boundaries of what we're talking about, and that is allegation number two, violation of condition 12D. The allegation that Mr. Paul Matus was knowingly associating with offender Anthony Garcia, a known SDG gang member, on about March 3rd, 2018. I will say in simple terms, based on the information that I gathered today, I think the one allegation is pretty straightforward. And as I see it, that association was witnessed by a sworn officer. And 2 minutes of discussion, I do find significant. But I am the panel lead. I'm only one voting board member, and that's why I would like to begin the discussion. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I think that condition 12B simply states I would not knowingly associated with non-STG gang members, and we've heard testimony that Mr. Matus was a non-validated gang member, as well as Mr. Anthony Garcia was a non-validated gang member, that they were together for, I believe it was 6 or 7 years at the Browning unit, where they spent time in prison, both as validated non-gang members, according to documentation or testimony about documentation that we actually received, that statement that they would have known each other if they spent 6 to 7 years in prison in the same unit as validated gang members from the same unit. They were observed and confirmed, identified by the detectives of the Phoenix Police Department, who were able to subsequently observe them and identify them to be hosting or involved in a conversation for about 2 minutes with each other while they were there. Because they were both incarcerated, because they both are known gang members, and you know, I think that he was a violation, and he did associate with another non-gang member, and there has been testimony about the actual known and validated gang member, both from the county attorney's office, from the Phoenix Police Department, from the parole officers, that they were known validated gang members. So I think that it's just real simple that, you know, I think they did know each other, that they did associate with each other, and they did engage in a conversation with each other that was observed by the detectives on the Phoenix Police Department and subsequently identified, and that in spite of it was a party, whether it was a children's party or a gang party, the violation is clear to me, that there's a clear violation that's there, and based on the other information and the current investigation that may be going on, I feel that there is a threat to the community, and that I'm not supportive of Mr. Matus being released back out of community supervision.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. The honorable member.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. And just based on information that you summed up, and then it was enhanced by Mr. Johnson, we have sworn police officers who are testifying. We have a prosecutor who's testifying to us about his activities, and I think those activities will continue if he's released back to the street. So I'm not in favor of releasing Mr. Hutchins.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Yes, Mr. Dean.
First of all, I just would like for the record to clarify something that keeps getting thrown out here. Officer Crane wrote this warrant based on information he was given by another law enforcement agent. Whether or not he misinterpreted that information, whether or not they misinterpreted that information, it was not a specific mistake the officer couldn't. He wrote the warrant, and all the warrants we see about any criminal activities or anything like that are based on information that they're given by another agency. So I don't like the aspect of Mr. Queen being accused of doing a erroneous allegation on a warrant. It was information he was given by the opposed. Allegation number two goes, without trying to repeat anything, I have to pretty much agree, and Mr. Matusa's attorney talks about an insignificant amount of time or anything. The law doesn't state that any amount of time has to occur for a contact with whoever you're forbidden from seeing. So if they were standing there looking at each other for 2 minutes without departing, that falls under the game of not associating with somebody they're not supposed to associate with. So I'm not in favor of returning Mr. Matusa to community supervision this time myself.
Thank you, Mr. Newman. The Honorable Dr. Wright.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Based on the information that's been presented to the board, I must agree with my distinguished colleagues. I'm not in favor this time. So.
Thank you, sir. Therefore, based on our discussion, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see where the votes land. And that is, based on the information provided us, the warrant number 2018W0650, specifically related to allegation number 2 in violation of condition 12D. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Matusa was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal razor company, inasmuch that he associated with offender Anthony Garcia, a known STG gang member, on or about March 3rd, 2018. And that's my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Neal, and the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, back to you, Mr. Matusa. Your supervision has been revoked, and you will be released on or about September 28, 2019. We highly encourage you to take advantage of any programming that's available to you for the remainder of your prison sentence. We encourage you to put together a plan for your release. I recognize that it sounds like a long time, but it is a matter of months. And again, we do encourage you to, again, take advantage of any programming, to get to put together a plan, and we do wish you a safe and productive return to the community. No further discussion may take place. We thank you for appearing before the board today, and thank you for being so pleasant. And this concludes our hearing.
Thank you.